Cherry Developer News, episode 26 for Friday, October 22nd, 2010. I'm Ken Rimple.
I'm Eric Snyder.
And we're here to talk about tech news we find interesting. So I'm going to lead us off with barely tech news that I thought was kind of humorous on. And if you want to look at the news items, by the way, it's on delicious.com/developer news/26. And one of those is the Russian army upgrading its inflatable weapons, Eric.
That's technical in some respects.
It's technical in some respects, but darn it, this is my bully pulpit, so I'm going to talk about weird stuff too on Slashdot. According to the BBC, the Russian military has come up with an inventive way to deceive the army, the enemy, and save money at the same time: inflatable weapons.
So you're telling me that this actually works?
Apparently,
because I know it worked in the 40s and 50s.
Apparently. So what they're saying is the actual radar stations, when they scan for things, everything has a certain signature, right?
Right.
Certain types of reflectivity and bounce off. And
oh, so
like
these
that.
Are the right size and shape.
So the right size and shape.
Because you don't have to have mass, right? You just have to reflect.
You have to reflect as if you are a shell of something large.
Oh, it makes sense to me.
There's got to be ways to thwart this, maybe. But I actually heard on NPR, you could probably search for it, but on NPR there was a segment of one show, and I forget what it was, where they were talking to some of the people working in the factories, and they're like, we're so happy to be contributing all these advanced weapons to the Russian military. And I thought, that's cool. To do it with inflatable weapons, that's just really neat.
That sounds like a very economical way
to try to make sure your enemy never attacks you.
Yeah.
Because you could send your million-dollar missile down to hit.
Yeah, and you'll hit a balloon.
And you'll hit a balloon.
That's cool.
Poof. Imagine that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's spot it. Oh, it just blew up in an air. Uh-oh.
Something tells me that, well, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go on to a couple of controversies. I think this is controversy week at the Dev News, because the first controversy that I'd like to bring up is actually people we know. So I want to be careful not to demagogue or blame or point fingers. But what's happened recently is a couple of the people over on the JBoss group have made some comments about Spring and Java EE.
Right.
Lincoln Baxter put an article out about moving from Spring to Java EE 6, the age of frameworks is over. And his statement was that Spring and other frameworks are kind of legacy or they're proprietary in some way.
I like Lincoln. I worked with him at a client.
Yeah.
And I think he's brilliant.
He is. He's a very smart guy.
But he's crazy when he says that.
I know. Because isn't Java EE a framework?
They're all frameworks.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is kind of nuts. So, you know, I understand. I actually did read his article. I went through it, and then I read through all the giant number of threads afterwards in the comments.
Yeah.
So he did give a good stab at what Java EE 6 looks like.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you came out of Java EE, you know, let's say 2.1 EJB and things like that, if you came out of that and looked for the next generation, okay, that's an improvement because it's simple.
Oh yeah,
they've got dependency injection. I would say that's beneficial.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna compare the two.
Right.
I'm just gonna they're somewhat of a level playing field. I'm not gonna say.
Yeah.
I mean, I have my opinion for sure.
You could do an app in either one and get it done, and have roughly some
of
the same benefits.
To say the age of frameworks is over. That makes no sense.
You know,
the main difference is someone's blessing or some organization's blessing. That's all it is, really. I mean, they approach it in different ways. They have different philosophies, but they're both frameworks or sets of frameworks.
Yeah, I thought competition was good. And actually, the funny thing is, if you look at what Spring does, for example, not to be a Spring apologist, which of course we mostly do Spring here,
right?
Is that it wraps or uses or exposes Java EE stuff. So it's like we need them as much as they need competition out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really popular to use both. I mean, Spring's DI is used all over these JEE projects. So I mean,
Mule uses it,
sure.
Camel and a whole bunch of other tools will use Spring. It's everywhere. So I don't see that age of frameworks dying.
Well, I can understand, why Lincoln would say this. I mean, he's got some skin, JSF skin in the game.
Yes.
So, if you do, I mean, there's only that's the way to go. I mean,
right. I'll post a link to the original. I'll also post a link to the server-side discussion around it, which is also interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll post a great response by Matt Rabel, who has a fantastic rebuttal. It's really more of a, hey, come on, everything's a framework.
Exactly.
And, while I understand where Java EE 6 is going and I understand where Spring is going, use the right tool for the right job.
I mean, I appreciate the good argument. If you want to sit here and debate point by point, which is better, especially for the presentation stuff.
Yeah. And we all have our opinions about that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. But this isn't really a debate about that. This is more like, you know, we're past spring.
Right.
What? Excuse me?
Yeah, I don't really? Think so. And when Spring One this week has been announcing all sorts of new efforts around, you know, cloud.
Well, that explains it then.
Yeah.
It's the timing.
It's countering it, yeah.
Exactly. You always do stuff like this right before your competitor's big conference.
Yep. So no offense meant to Lincoln.
No, Lincoln's great. I like Lincoln a lot.
Yeah. I think it's just an interesting debate to have right now, especially with other things going on, with the Oracle to Google lawsuit around the Java VM, the Dalvik VM.
Mm-hmm.
And also now the next one that I wanted to kind of talk about in controversy land was Apple. So recently when they released, I guess, the announcement that they were going to go to the next version of OS X, which is Tiger.
Right.
Right?
Is that
Tiger?
Lion.
Yeah, Tiger. I'm going backwards. Lion.
Right.
They announced that that now the JDK is going to be deprecated. Their JDK installation is going to be deprecated, and they're not even going to ship a JDK for the next version of OS X.
Right.
That's a very interesting move, too.
I think it's absolutely the right thing for them to do.
Ooh, here we go. We're going to get into a debate ourselves. Yeah. So go ahead. Let me get your take on that.
Well, I mean, all along, I think it's always been a bad idea for them to build and ship the JDK. I mean, obviously, they have some nice integration points. So that's the big thing.
Right. The UI. Because so it's not X Windows.
The Cocoa touch points and all that stuff.
Right.
So that, you know, I think that's probably why they were the ones to do it.
Yeah.
But they didn't – as far as I know, I don't think they were – I could be wrong about this, but I don't think they were preventing anyone from – I mean, there are other implementations out there.
Well, yeah, there was like that Soy Latte implementation, which was based on the open – was it based on OpenJDK or something? I forget.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah, that just for people who don't know, back in I guess it was 2009 or 2008.
Yeah.
When Java 1.6 was coming out, there was no 1.6 release from Sun.
For a long time.
From Oracle.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, from Apple. For a long time.
Yeah.
So a lot of us were running the VM,
right.
VMware instance and running Linux. And then this guy, Landon Fuller, who used to work for Apple, in fact, forked the OpenJDK, I believe.
I don't know.
And he actually hacked it to the point where it ran.
Yeah.
And a lot of us started using that until the Apple JDK 1.6 came out. So we kind of wagged the dog a little bit and got it going. And I don't know if they just kept going because someone else did it on a freeware project and they wanted to keep up. Or what?
I just don't see it as it's not Apple's thing.
It's not strategic.
It's not strategic for them, but they shouldn't be doing it. First of all, you don't want to be tied to Apple's OS releases.
Right.
You don't want to be tied to Apple's release schedule at all because they haven't really cared about Java for some time.
They really aren't innovating in the space. So
no, they're not.
They got it up and running in their Aqua look and feel and
exactly.
everything.
Yeah. So, right. I mean, I want my VMs to come from Oracle, from
now,
IBM, from...
Now, the big question is, so
exactly.
Let's take another left turn. I think we talked about this last one, is that the Harmony JDK, which was the open source one from Apache,
right.
IBM was originally sponsoring that, and then recently IBM did the calculus and said, you know, we could sit here and try to get them to release the JDK standards tests for us, and they realized that just like Sun, Oracle wasn't about to do that.
Right.
They weren't going to certify that JDK.
Right.
So they turned left, and they put their money behind what, OpenJDK, I guess that's the project,
so, yeah.
which Oracle sponsors.
Right.
Now, if that happens... And then actually they come out with a Darwin port for that and they start, you know, developing that.
Right.
You know, and that becomes a viable alternative that stays up with the patch levels of the regular JDK. That's good.
Right.
But even better would be Oracle actually taking on the Apple OS. And I don't know if they would do that. That's a good question.
I don't know. I mean, I want my Java to be just like my Python, my Ruby.
It doesn't care.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I use Homebrew and I install, you know, those from Homebrew or Mac ports or whatever.
Just install it, just use it.
Yeah, exactly.
And for the server-side stuff, that's fine. I think that the area where I see that this would be fine with
me. Yeah, like the IDEs.
Is the IDEs and the Aqua look and feel. Like if they could donate back the Aqua look and feel piece.
I would have a problem with that.
Yeah. There's some great IDEs that we use for Ruby development and other stuff, right? What is it, RubyMine and just
VI. That's mine.
Well,
that's
VI.
My ID.
Yeah, and actually Don the other day said, what is it, Emacs?
Yeah, or Emacs.
But you know what I mean? There's some decent IDEs out there.
If you're a Java developer, though, you almost need an ID.
Yeah.
So
it's
a whole other argument.
Yeah, we could get into like lots of code versus convention and everything else.
Forget that. But So I'm not going to want to – I don't want to use X for my IDEs.
Mm-hmm.
So X Windows. So
right. That's my thing. The user interface is so much better.
We just got 1.6 point release 22.
Yeah.
So which is the latest? Which should take us for. I mean, Java moves at a glacial pace.
So, what do you mean?
Assuming that Apple releases, they're going to be compelled to release security updates.
I would hope so.
I would think so.
That's what I'd like to hear from them too.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
They would have to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so assuming they're going to keep doing that for 6 months to a year,
I think it's kind of just bad timing that. that release announcement came, or that announcement came out before someone else picked up the torch and said, or they didn't have an answer saying,
yeah, that's
we're
true.
Deprecating, but that's Oracle true. Is committed to Java on the platform.
I think they didn't handle it well. They should have had some public statements. Well, if you think about Lion, they're saying summer of 2011.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
And that's Java 7 territory. So who knows? Like, you know what they did with the, you couldn't run Java 1.6 and the 32-bit MacBooks?
Right.
Well, who knows? Maybe they're saying Java 1.7 will run on the new ones only.
I don't know.
But I wouldn't know. I mean, you don't know what they're doing. They're definitely not going to be bundling it anyway going forward.
No, and you know, we need to run multiple versions of Java sometimes. Yeah. I mean, our clients are all over the place. Yeah. So
I think if we can get through the speed bump, it's not a bad thing because I would like to put it in like, you know, user lib Java or some rational directory structure with a regular old path like everything else has. Yeah. So you don't have the special, oh, I'm on Apple, so it's this weird JDK
exactly.
path.
Exactly. So I say, you know, Apple, good on you.
There you go. There you go. So there we go. So it's controversy week today.
Yeah.
All right. Let me go back to my news here. We have a couple of releases. Let me just go over there. Spring 1, there's a lot of stuff going on. They released the release candidate 1 of Spring Source Tool Suite. What is it? 3.5? I forget the version. And that is dovetailed with Rue 1.1, which is dovetailed with GWT 1.1, both, I guess, release candidate status. And there's been a lot of work around getting Google Web Toolkit to work well with other frameworks lately. I'm not saying it did in the past, that it did not in the past, but they have the Spring group really working tightly with them to do things that will make the Spring Roo user interface work well. Things like scaffolding, where they want to actually do one-to-many relationships between objects, and they want to scaffold those, and their collections API wasn't giving them what they wanted, if I remember correctly. So a lot of interesting stuff going on there. To find out all the stuff that's going on in Spring 1, you just have to go to twitter.com/springsource and look at their stream. And they've just got a lot of stuff, especially around the cloud computing aspect. They're doing a lot with RabbitMQ. There was a whole demo by Graham Rocher at Spring 1 where he was showing, and I don't remember exactly what the technology is. We're going to have a couple of our people went to Spring 1 talk about this. But he was showing GORM, which is the object relational mapping of Grails, in the Grails console talking right to a cloud database using the regular old GORM API. Hmm. And I forget which one it was. But so a lot of stuff going on in the Spring space. I can't even cover all of them in the time we have. So hit twitter.com/springsource for now if you get on it recently. And I'm sure we'll have blog entries about it on chariotsolutions.com. As well as we'll definitely have a recap podcast.
But definitely just stick with, JEE, because then you won't have to worry about all this innovation. You could just skip it all.
I'm going to duck for that comment.
Sorry.
Hey, maybe we'll get an email. Hey, by the way, if you want to email us or give us any feedback, you could tweet to us at TechCast, or you can go ahead, and we've gotten a few of those here and there, or you can go ahead and send us feedback at TechCastFeedback@ChariotSolutions.com. All right, what else do we want to talk about here?
I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
It's not on your list.
No, that's fine. Hit it.
Okay, so React 0.13 was just released.
Okay.
So I guess the big thing, there's a few things in there, but the big thing is React Search. So you can probably guess exactly what it does.
What is React again?
It's like a...
For those who don't know.
It's a NoSQL data store, so it's like a key value data store, mm-hmm. but it's like... it's like a combination of Redis and Cassandra. So it's persistent like Cassandra, and it does it supports the whole CAP theorem thing where it, you know, it has a ring of nodes and it, you know, it replicates between the nodes and all that fun, you know, from the Voldemort paper, all that fun stuff. Anyway.
Okay.
So just look up Cassandra to get the basic.
The principle. Basics. Yeah.
But basically React is, key value store. It's very cool. But, so you create key, you put your keys in buckets right now, and right now you can make these buckets indexable or searchable, in which case you can use the normal React API and search things using the values of your entries.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's all. It's just now it's React, but you don't just look things up by keys. You can do full searches, full text, full everything searches.
Cool. Yeah. And what's the website of React? Is it
basho.com/react.html?
R-I-A-K.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's see here. Silicon Valley and Talent Crunch. Yeah, we could talk about that, but everyone knows that one. So in another interesting statement, I guess during earnings week, Steve Jobs had a nice long talk.
Oh, right. The rant.
The rant?
Yeah.
It was an interesting rant. One of the pieces of the rant was that the Apple share of the US PC market cracks the 10% barrier, which is pretty amazing if you think about it.
So there's like retail numbers.
Right.
And then there's like commercial shipments. And somehow the number that he threw out somehow isn't fully representative.
Okay.
So I don't quite know the details.
At any rate, I mean, I'm just in terms of rough percentage scale. Anyway, there are a lot of people. I mean, if you go to a conference, especially tech people, you see tons and tons of Apple products everywhere.
Right.
That's not really particularly news, but if it is really true that they're getting close to 10% or anywhere near 10% of the incoming PC market, then a lot of people are buying laptops because you know it's not the desktop tools. Because the desktops, you know, they're very specific pieces of hardware for things that you want to do, like editing or rendering. But laptops, I see tons of people doing laptops that are Macs.
Oh, yeah, especially in our space.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I think that's pretty much it then. Okay, so if you want to check out the stories we talked about today, you can go to Chariot Solutions. I'm sorry, you can go to techcast.chariotsolutions.com, and you can look at the feed for episode 26, or you can go to delicious.com/developernews/26 if you just want the feed of the links. For more information about Chariot, visit chariotsolutions.com. Including right now we have our training schedule, which is pretty aggressive. We've got, I think, 4 or 5 spring courses coming up in the next couple of months. Everything from Core Spring to Spring Rich Web to Spring Enterprise Integration to Hibernate, as well as some Maven peppered in there as well. So if you're interested in education, you can certainly hit that up, and you'll see that right off the homepage. Okay, so for Chariot Solutions and for the TechCast, I'm Ken Rimple.
I'm Eric Snyder.
Make it a good week.